Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of the Holy Communion. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, once again, we welcome you. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The hymn, O worship the King, all glorious above.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord,
have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect of the 20th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose Holy Spirit equips your Church with a rich variety of gifts, grant us so to use them that, living the gospel of Christ and eager to do your will, we may share with the whole creation in the joys of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Job, chapter 38, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings so that they may go and say to you, "Here we are"? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning, number 104, which we shall say my alternative vision of verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
O Lord my God, how excellent is your greatness.
You are clothed with majesty and honour,
wrapped in light as in a garment.
You spread out the heavens like a curtain,
and lay the beams of your dwelling place in the waters above.
You make the clouds your chariot,
and ride on the wings of the wind.
You make the winds your messengers,
and flames of fire your servants.
You laid the foundations of the earth,
that it never should move at any time.
You covered it with the deep like a garment.
The waters stood high above the hills.
At your rebuke they fled.
At the voice of your thunder they hastened away.
They rose up to the hills and flowed down to the valleys beneath,
to the place which you had appointed for them.
You have set them their bounds that they should not pass,
nor turn again to cover the earth.
O Lord, how manifold are your works!
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Let sinners be consumed out of the earth, and the wicked be no more.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honour, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, King of Kings, Majesty. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the rough and tumble world of the schoolyard, perhaps one of the most frequent insults children hurl at each other is "loser." It's also the logic of bullies of all ages. Ridicule the apparently weak and vulnerable. Stigmatize them. Tell others not to waste their time hanging out with losers, but rather to join the bullies in their sham fellowship of supposed victory and viciousness. That message lives on beyond the playground. Something inside us likes to be associated with success. Successful people intrigue us. We like our sports teams better when they are winning. In the world of politics, it's also thought important to back a winner. Maybe if we are close to successful people, some of their success will rub off on us. If our political candidate wins, who knows, maybe he or she will remember us when he or she gets into power. Maybe a nice contract will come our way. Maybe our company will get a nice tax break. Who knows, if we play our cards right, we might be appointed as a cabinet member or as an ambassador. It seems like human beings are always trying to move up on the scale of importance. On the playground, we sang about being king of the castle. In our adult years, we aspire to upward mobility. Somehow we think if we are successful, if we are winners, then we will be fulfilled. then we will be valuable, then we will be important, then we will be powerful. Unfortunately, religious people have no exception to this rule. Church history often reads like the painful saga of craven leaders choosing power over love, institutional success over sacrifice, control over the cross. There seems to be something inside human beings that wants to exercise power by lording it over others, even at least sometimes in the church. And if we can get some power by hanging on to the coattails of someone on the way up, so be it. In our gospel reading for today, we hear the story of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples who thought they were backing a winner. They had been following Jesus since he came on the scene in Galilee. They had seen Jesus say and do extraordinary things. They had heard him preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. And they left everything to follow him. They decided to take their whole lives on the mission of Jesus. And they were betting that when God's kingdom came, Jesus was going to be a winner. So one day, James and John came to Jesus with a request. And, as you may have noticed, they approached him in a rather peculiar way. They say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." There seems to be something fishy going on here. It sounds like a couple of children trying to get away with something. Something like children going to one of their parents and saying, "I want you to promise to do whatever we ask you to do before we tell you what it is. You've got to promise first. You've got to swear you'll do it." Ever hear one like that before? Hear a request like this and you know something is up. Apparently Jesus knew this too. Notice that he does not make any promises. Neither does he scold them, something he is quite capable of doing at other times. Rather, he cuts through the game playing and asks, "What is it that you want me to do for you? Just get to the point. What do you want?" And there is grace here, grace in cutting through the nonsense, grace in getting to the point, and grace in his making himself available to his followers. So, James and John finally spit it out and say, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." And there it is for all to see, the naked ambition of James and John. They see Jesus as destined for glory, and for them that means destined for power. They see Jesus as a powerful ruler, maybe someone who is going to crack some heads and take back power from the Romans. They picture Jesus as a powerful king, seated upon a throne of glory, with his attendants seated beside him, one on his left and one on his right. These seats on the left and the right are also places of great power, and they are asking Jesus to promise that when he becomes a powerful king, that he will remember them and give them a couple of choice positions in his court. They see Jesus as destined to be a winner, someone on the way up in the world, and they are hoping that he will bring them along for the ride and give them a couple of positions of power and prestige in the kingdom. And after all, Do not James and John have some reason for expecting at least a little payback? Didn't they give up everything to follow Jesus? Didn't they leave family and profession to follow him? Wouldn't they expect a little something in return on the day when their guy comes out on top? They were counting on their guy to be a winner after all, and this promised to be their own ticket to the top. But James and John simply did not get it. Jesus tells them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Basically, Jesus is saying that his disciples do not have a clue as to who he is or what his whole mission is about. Jesus did not come to crack heads and take back power. He was not destined to be a powerful ruler the way earthly rulers are powerful. Rather, the cup he drinks is a cup of suffering, the cup of his blood poured out for others. The baptism with which he is baptized is his passion and death. Basically, Jesus' cup and baptism point to the cross, and because the cross is the only earthly throne he will ever occupy, he doubts James and John really know what they are asking when they request to be on his left hand and his right hand. After all, who will be on Jesus' left and right when he was on the cross? Do James and John really want to be on his left and his right when he comes into glory? This is not about following the king to his castle, but to his cross. This is not upward mobility, it is downward mobility. This is not backing a winner. By the standards of the world, James and John are hanging out with a loser. But Christ is showing his disciples that true greatness is not found in climbing to the top and exercising power over others. Rather, true greatness, true leadership is found in self-emptying, self-giving love. Unlike worldly rulers who lord it over others, Jesus tells his disciples, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is basically the gospel in a nutshell, and the spelling out of what the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ means for his disciples. It is still shocking, or at least it ought to be. It's rather easy to point out how Jesus' vision of true greatness, found in self-emptying love, clashes with the lifestyles of Armani-clad businessmen with slicked black hair and glad-handling politicians building up their war chests. But in our gospel reading, Jesus seems less interested in simply criticizing the ways of the worldly rulers and more concerned with the ways in which his followers are aping the behavior of worldly rulers and trying to lord it over one another in the community of his followers. It's less about the failures of the world and more about the corruption of the body of Christ. And that means the sting of Jesus' words and the shock of recognition must begin with the prelates, the priests, and all the people in the community of disciples who are called to take up their crosses and follow Jesus. trying to lord it over one another, blaming one another for the decline in membership and influence of our churches, shaming the losers, and scrambling for the remaining seats of power, are not to be so among us. Rather, we are called to follow the one who came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, we give thanks for the grace that always exceeds what we can hope or ask for. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for the parishes of Killinchy, Kilmood and Tullinacill, and the rector, the Reverend Dr. Stanley Gamble. We pray for this group of parishes and for our Sunday schools and rainbow guides now that they have resumed their activities despite continuing restrictions. May your church everywhere make Christ real in the corridors of power and in the dark places of deprivation. At this time of an ongoing easing of pandemic restrictions, help us to be at one with each other in love and prayer and mutual support. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, we pray for our leaders, whose decisions and policies have the potential to impact the lives of millions of people around the world, people who they may never meet, know or be aware of, but are your sons and daughters. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government, the First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive, also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Taoiseach, and Leo Varadkar, and government in the Republic. We pray that your Spirit will inspire the hearts and heads of our leaders and those who hold positions of responsibility in Afghanistan, Yemen, Iran, Myanmar, and the Horn of Africa, that they might hear the voices of the impoverished, the oppressed, and the vulnerable. Help them to see the impact of their actions and the potential to release healing and hope through just policies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, we pray for our local community and to all who work for its good. Those in local government, education, social, health and medical services, the shopkeepers, the police, and all associated with our neighbouring churches. Help us to be good witnesses among those who know us best, at home and among friends and family. Help us to be humble and forgiving and always willing to understand our faults. So may our family life and our neighbourhood itself be a witness to your saving grace. Shield our families and friends from the assaults and fear of coronavirus and its variants. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. Give skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick at home or in hospital. In particular, Ruth Carlyle, Isaac Harrison, Helen and John Neal, Blaine and Betty Harrison, David, Ruth, Emily, Holly and Joshua O'Neill. Give your wisdom in distributing vaccine boosters. May discoveries in the field of medicine be truly shared between rich and poor. Inspire those who as yet have not taken up the opportunity of vaccination to consider the positive benefits of doing so. We pray for all who are bereaved, remembering in particular Alistair Ward and the family circle following the death of Colleen. Grant them all the assurance of your love. We continue to pray for all adversely affected by the volcanic eruptions in La Palma on Spain's Canary Islands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of eternity, grant refreshment, light and peace to all who no longer need the bread of this world. Receive them into their eternal home. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn, "We pray thee, Heavenly Father, to hear us in thy love."
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. God our Father, whose Son, the light unfailing, has come from heaven to deliver the world from the darkness of ignorance, let these holy mysteries open the eyes of our understanding that we may know the way of life and walk in it without stumbling, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
The hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made.
Consider all the works thy hand hath made.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We thank you for your presence and participation in this service. Sunday next, which is the last Sunday after Trinity, there will be an online service on the parish website from 10 a.m. In church, there will be a service of morning prayer in Annahilt. And in Mara Hamlet next Sunday, there will be thanksgiving for the blessings of harvest. Parish communion at 12 noon. The special preacher will be the Reverend Bruce Hayes, Rector of Dalkey in the Diocese of Dublin. The young people attending are asked to bring a non-perishable item of food, a packet of biscuits, a tin of soup, or some other non-perishable item, and there will be the opportunity for them to present their offerings during the service. At 7 o'clock next Sunday in Mara Hamlet, there will be a service of harvest praise, a service of hymns, anthems and readings to celebrate harvest. Parishioners and friends from Annahilt and other nearby churches are warmly invited and welcome to the harvest services in Mara Hamlet, particularly the evening service. Thank you.